through the Advent season, most of the sermons I preached were guided by the lectionary, and that is true in this new year in Epiphany. The lectionary reading for today comes from Mark's Gospel, and it's about Jesus' call of his first disciples. And I want to illustrate to you today how that call is issued in the other Gospels, and I'll tell you about that more in just a moment. I thought about preaching this particular sermon for next Sunday. So think about next Sunday as we elect officers, elders, and deacons, and the call of the first disciples. It's appropriate for that week. And so you're just thinking ahead for next week. But at any rate, I think it's appropriate for today to remember these two stories for next week and how Jesus calls those who follow him to be fishers of people. Next Sunday, I'll be preaching a sermon about the importance of connecting. But today, a fishing story in three scenes. I almost read another story from John's Gospel to show you how this story is used in three of the Gospels. If you, as a homework assignment, if you'll write down John chapter 21, read John 21 later today, and what you will find is an almost identical story to Luke 5, which I'm going to read this morning. And here's the point. I'm just greatly interested in this because what happens in Luke 5 is almost repeated identically in John 21. The point being, Luke 5 and this Mark 1 is where Jesus initially calls his disciples. In John 21, what John is doing, he's using the story of when Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared for the first time to his followers, and they didn't recognize him at first, and then this story takes place again from Luke 5. It's a little bit different, but you'll see when you compare those two. So interesting, the gospel writers use it in both the initial call and after Jesus' resurrection. I'm reading first from Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 14. It is the lectionary reading for today and is entitled, Jesus Calls His First Disciples. Now, after John was arrested, John the Baptist, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went a little farther. He saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, notice what they're doing, who were in their boats mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. And then we turn to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, Luke's version of Jesus' call of his first disciples. Once while standing, Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats that were at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. When he had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat, come and help, come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Let's pray as we come to the message this morning. Oh God, by your Holy Spirit, tell us today what we need to hear. And show us from your word what we need to do. So that we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. And this is our prayer. Through the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You would not be surprised if I told you I have a large fishing net at home. And when I get the chance to go fishing, which I'll have to confess has been way too long, there's almost nothing more exciting to me than to cast that big net and catch a lot of fish to the point where it's almost willing to break. I have a habit, even when I'm not using it, if I wade fish, I take it out in the water with me and kind of spread it around in hopes that if a shark were to come by, he would get caught in the net before he got me. And I've caught more fish by that net than I have with my rod, by the way. Well, in Luke's gospel, we have this story of Jesus calling his disciples. And we read at the end of the story, they have a boat so full of fish that the boat wallows in the water like an overstuffed whale and almost ready to sink. They barely make it back to shore. And in all their years of fishing, Simon and his companions had rarely seen a catch like this one. If you can imagine hard enough, you can almost see them tugging the nets and trying to pull the nets into the boat. And if you imagine, you can probably imagine they were shouting with joy and laughter, and there may have been even some fear mixed in with all of that. They yell across the water to their friends, "Come and help! These fish are too much for our boat." And here's the high moment. It is in this high moment of success that Jesus says to them, "You think this is exciting? Follow me, and from now on, you'll be catching people." This is the expectation of every Christian church, that we will catch people. It is the assumption of every church that we believe we are responding to an appetite that people have, indeed a hunger. The language we would use is a hunger for God. As we gather to worship this morning and we take part in mission, it is our mission as a church to seek to reach out to children, to youth, to families, to individuals, people of all ages, and encourage and nurture them in their hunger, to nurture them in faith, in this search for God. It is my belief that this search to find God, whether people realize it or not, is the hunger of every human being from the cradle to the grave. The one burning desire beneath all desires, whether you are young or old, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, is this hunger to know God. And thus the importance of this passage that Jesus calls his disciples. In our readings this morning, Jesus gives to the fishermen a vision of the ministry to which he called those first disciples and the mission to which he calls us. Note with me that in the midst of this excitement, in this story, in Luke 5 specifically, there's a discordant note, because when they catch the great number of fish, notice how Simon, the big fisherman, reacts. because instead of expressing his joy in that moment of the great catch, he cries out, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." How interesting. It's like awe and reverence are in his words, and perhaps a feeling of inadequacy at that moment. Simon knows he is encountering one that is not to be taken lightly. He knows. I would also say to you that after years of ministry in Christ Church, that Simon knows, like some of us who have been following him for years, that the ministry to which Christ calls Simon is not only epitomized by the drama of the great catch, but by the entire story. All three scenes are important. You see, ministry is not just about bulging nets and boats that are so full they're brimming with fish, about to sink. Simon, remember, is a fisherman, and he knows, boy does he know, that fishing is often more about a boat on the beach and sitting and mending nets, fishing all night and oftentimes catching nothing and ending up exhausted from it. And if Jesus is calling him to cast his net for people, the question for us then is this. Is this also to reflect what Simon knows about casting his net for the elusive fish? The exciting part of the story, of course, is when we see the nets breaking from the great catch, that great dramatic moment in the story. But let's not forget there's also other scenes to learn from. And so follow me this morning as I pan through the story like a movie director trying to size it up for you. And here we go. Scene one. At the beginning of the story, the boats are beached, the nets are empty, and the fishermen are washing their nets, pulling perhaps the grass and the weeds out of the net and the dead fish scales and making sure that all the knots are tied, no holes in the net. They are doing routine, mundane tasks that must be done in order to catch fish. Necessary task. The scene, by the way, I would argue is a quiet scene. All we can hear in the moment in this scene are the waves lapping at the shore repeatedly, almost as mundane as mending the nets. You hear it? Crashing lightly over and over on the beach. Scene two. The boat, we learn, Jesus has asked Simon to push it out from the shore. The boat bobs listlessly on the waves. The nets are in the boat, ready to be let down after Jesus finishes teaching. There are still the sounds in this scene of the weary fishermen. They are resting. They have worked all night. They have caught nothing. They're weary from the long night, and they are waiting for energy again to do what they know how to do what they are trained to do. In Mark's story, you remember some of them were hired men. But where is their hope? Where is their excitement? Where is their zeal for fishing? Well, they're exhausted. They're exhausted from the night before. You see, these two scenes that we may read through quickly are just as much a part of the story in the call of Simon and the others as is the final scene of the great catch of fish. And I think that's an important message for us to hear. Oh, how we're drawn to the great catch, but how we're not drawn to the tedious task of mending the nets and preparing and having boats upon the beach. Let's get the boat in the water and do it again. Well, not with those nets, of course not. Many people do not spend a great deal of time catching on to the great depth that there is of life and faith. if they're not intentional about it. Many people just skim the surface. And here's what I mean by that. Somewhere I came across this years ago, and I think it's very valuable. I read that by common estimation, most people realize only 10% of their life potential. They see only 10% of the world's beauty and hear only about 10% of the music and the poetry of the universe. Many people are alive to only 10% of the deep and rich feelings possible to human beings. Do you believe that? Many people, 10%. There's a wonderful story that was told to me when I was a seminary student by Dr. David Steele. He was a professor at Columbia Seminary, a retired pastor in the Church of Scotland, former moderator of the General Assembly in Scotland, and he was one of my professors. And later, when I was serving in Edinburgh, being retired, he was a member of the church. Imagine how humbling that is as a new pastor, freshly out of seminary, and you have your preaching professor in the audience every single week. That was tough. He was very forgiving and very helpful. And Dr. Steele, by the way, he often taught me how to fly fish and took me to some beautiful estates. I don't know who lived there, but the little lakes on them were just gorgeous. And the story Dr. Steele told me was apocryphal, but it is a good story worth hearing. It's a story about the Astronomer Royal and the Archbishop of Canterbury. It's an old story. The Astronomer Royal, by the way, is the astronomer who is given the highest award in all of Great Britain for their efforts, for their achievement. And it seems that these two people were sitting next to each other at a high social dinner occasion, and all of a sudden, the Astronomer Royal said to the Archbishop, "You know, to me, the whole of the Christian faith can be summed up by the words, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." "Oh," responded the Archbishop, "oh, that's interesting, because I find for me, the whole of astronomy can be summed up by the words, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are." And we will finally see here in this story, the disciples at the end of this story, after they make a great catch, Jesus says to those who would follow him, he gives them this inviting promise, "If you follow me, from now on you'll be catching people." Now that seems simple on the surface. I would argue there is great depth to Jesus' statement. It can be very complicated in trying to catch people. I would like to be able to say to you that Jesus calls us as his disciples to one high, joyous drama after another. That every time we cast our nets as a church, that they will come back full. And we will barely make it to the shore in our boats. I wish I could say that to you, and I wish I could also say that whatever we do in the church and in the community will always be accompanied by shouts of joy and success and all kinds of acclamation. But the reality is that when we do answer the call to follow Jesus Christ in our lives or in the church, to seek to be his disciples, we will spend a lot of time in our lives and families and in the church by beach boats mending our nets. Important work. There will be those times when all that we know how to do in a given situation seems like nothing. Nothing happens or works out. Let me say to you, when that happens, don't give up. Just mend the nets and get ready for the next catch. Because we will often, in churches especially, and this is true in families, spend a lot of time doing routine stuff. like committee meetings and phone calls and doing things that seem to have no particular point. And all too often we will be recruiting, if not begging people, to go to Presbytery, filling out reports, talking to prospective members, doing all sorts of things like that. But remember, those times that we do these things are just as much a part of the story as the great catch. The story is told in three scenes, not one. I have shared this with you before. It's one of my favorite quotes. It's from a book entitled My Creator, My Friend by John Larson. And in his book, he has a wonderful statement of how all of us should seek to be Christ's disciples. And this is what Larson writes. People are unreasonable, illogical, self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness will get you nowhere and will make you vulnerable. Be vulnerable anyway. People really need your help and your love, but will attack you if you try to help them. Try anyway. Friends, much of our life and faith will be spent washing nets beside boats on the beach. But look what happened. Look what happened when Simon and his companions were doing just that. They looked up, and there was Jesus sitting in the boat. What was he doing in the boat at first? He was teaching the people the very word of God. And had Simon and the others not beached their boats to wash their nets, they would have missed out on a very important message. So here's the point. Don't despair in the time it takes in your life to wash the nets or just sit in the boat on the beach if the weather's poor, for example. Because all that time is really time of preparation. God is preparing us as individuals. God is preparing us as a church. Because how much of ministry and how much of our lives, when you think about it, is really about going out again and again, day after day, to the same old sea, to the same old boats, to the same old nets. And so in our reading from Luke's fishing story, we need to embrace the entirety of the story today. Jesus has a word for each one of us here, a word which is really a call to faithfulness. And as long as we hear his words and we listen to his teachings, we can keep on having the energy to let down those nets. For Simon and the others in our story, it was that one more time that the great surprise and the great catch came. You see, the excitement in our relationship with Jesus Christ is not necessarily an uninterrupted series of big catches and great successes, but rather that nets, which often seem so empty, can suddenly be full of life. The mystery, of course, is that we do not know when it's going to happen, and we do not know how. But we can be sure it will not happen if we are not ready. Another important part of the mystery in this story is to realize it is Jesus Christ alone who brings about the big surprise. And so today, I want to do what I did back in 2007 when I preached on this particular topic. I want to end this way. I want to end like Jesus ended. So hear Jesus call today. Hey, you, sitting beside that beach boat, mending your nets, get in the boat, push out, drop the nets again, because this may be the very time of the big catch. Praise be to God that it is. Let us pray. Oh, Lord and our God, we thank you for these moments together. especially on a wintry day like today. We thank you for reminding us of these boats and nets and all of the scenes that are important in this story, and the great importance of listening to Jesus and answering his call. Help us to do just that as we go from here this day, for it's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.